And I think Haynes needs to do something like that. I think all of us need to do something like that.
The Northern Lynn Canal helps send a worldwide message this weekend. And fish and game updates on goat season and upcoming classes. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories up next. As the goat hunt continues, Fish and Game says goat populations are down and has also issued an emergency order partially closing an area near Skagway to the hunt. Ryan Scott is Area Management Biologist for Game Management Unit 1D for Skagway and Haynes.
That area is just a little bit north of town, north of the East Fork of the Skagway River, and that's an area that doesn't hold a lot of goats. There are some in there, but there's just not a ton of them. So we do let some harvests go, 1 to 2 goats, and then we close it down. You know, the idea is we want to provide opportunity, but we certainly don't want to put the goat numbers that are in there at risk. We don't want to drive them down too far. So that's what happened with this latest emergency order. That's a very normal tool for Unit 1D. We probably issue more emergency orders than anybody else in the state. That's how we manage goat hunts. And it really works out good, I think, for the hunters in that we can manage on these small geographic areas and not have to impact a real broad hunt area. We can allow the majority of the spots to remain open and people can continue to hunt and just close down, you know, certain drainages when we need to.
Because of a group of Skagway citizens, a new area near Skagway was opened to bow hunters this goat season, says Scott.
There was one change. This is up in Skagway. We opened an area that had been closed for about 20 years. We call it the Skagway Pie, but it's the area between the Klondike Highway and the Chilkoot River. And it was closed back in the mid-1980s due to conservation concerns. A fairly steep decline in goat numbers was detected back then. And then in the interim, survey flights were conducted over time. They weren't consistently done every year, but we just never were able to pick up on an increase in goat numbers there. That said, last year, a group of folks from Skagway submitted a proposal to open the area to mountain goat hunting to the Alaska Board of Game, and we flew a survey last September, and much to our delight, we were able to find, gosh, I think we counted 118 goats. And really, when we're looking at areas to open up like that, we're looking for a threshold of 100 goats, and so we easily met that. We had pretty good kid numbers as well, and we went ahead and opened it up as a bow hunting only area.
0 goats in the new bow hunt area have been taken, although several goats were harvested in more traditional areas around Skagway. Staggered opening dates ranged from August 1st through September 15th, and closing dates to the season will also be staggered.
Most of the areas that open early in the season are fairly remote and don't get hunted a whole lot. And then as we start to get farther into the fall, which is more of a traditional hunting season, places that are easily accessible or more easily accessible, they open up about mid-September there.
The goat hunt is managed in season, and one area was slightly limited due to lower numbers mid-season. Fish and Game recently flew over the Tokchinook Range and the Tokine Ridge, as well as some areas in Skagway, to update the goat count.
You know, overall, The survey numbers were okay. It does look like goat numbers are down a little bit, and that seems to be region-wide, something that we are keeping a close eye on. You know, it's certainly not anything to get too worried about at this point, but it is something we'll keep watching. And the Tokchinooks look pretty good. Actually, they look real good. And then Tokine seemed to be down a little bit. And then the couple areas we flew up near Skagway, both of those seem to be down a little bit as well. Again, you know, not something that we're too alarmed about, but it just gives us a heads up. We need to be keeping an eye on them for next year as well.
Scott says that downward trend has been shared with other ungulate species like moose and deer, and the lower count affected harvest limits in the Tokine Ridge, reducing it from 6 to 4 points this season.
It's a regional type trend in northern southeast. I think all the ungulate species, you know, they've had some pretty rough winters to deal with. The last three have been pretty rough, and I think we're just seeing the effects of that. So I suspect we'll see a little bit of a dip in all those, and certainly we know what's happened with deer, you know, and we continue to monitor that and are hoping for a mild winter and some good fawn recruitment. And same thing could be said for moose populations around southeast as well. You know, we need a couple mild winters and some good calf recruitment, and away we'll go.
Goat season closes November 15th through December 31st in different areas, depending on their remoteness.
Those are general closing dates. Goat hunters out there should be paying attention and checking with Fish and Game before they go out hunting just to make sure the areas they want to go are still open, because we will be closing them throughout the season as we get to the point harvest totals that we're allowing this year. Just, you know, keep getting those report cards in and let us know what you're seeing out there. And I hope they have good success hunting this year, and be safe.
In other fish and game news, the 3 certification courses the Division of Wildlife Conservation offers will soon be available in Haines. Basic Hunter Education is a lifetime certification and provides training in firearm safety and wildlife conservation. Muzzleloader Certification provides hands-on instruction in safe handling of black powder substitutes, and muzzleloaders at the range and in the field. Registration for those 2 courses must be done by Friday, October 23rd, at the Fish and Game Office in Haines. Bowhunter Certification provides training in techniques and safety for bowhunters, and registration is available under Hunter Education at wildlife.alaska.gov. Fish and Game in Haines can be reached at 766-2830. This weekend, Haines will join an international effort to raise awareness about climate change. 350.org is a worldwide campaign working to unite people around climate change solutions and hopes what they call a Planetary Day of Action this Saturday will send an Earth-sized message from communities like Haines to lawmakers. Matt Whitman is organizing the Haines event after being contacted by someone at 350.org.
And then the next day I got another email from Alan Parks, who's part of the Alaska Marine Conservation Council, asking if Haines would join in this unified message that's being posted. And I realized that I needed to make something happen. Like, if it was going to happen, it was up to me, and I've been just kind of hoping somebody else might do it, I guess. So then that just kind of got the ball rolling from there, and now it's going bigger and bigger, and I'm just stoked.
Similar events are happening in unison around the globe. Hundreds of places like Abakaliki, Nigeria, Abu Dhabi, UAE, Adelaide, Australia, and Haines, Alaska. Each place is inventing their own way to express unity for the cause. In Haines, it will be a potluck and a group photo.
I think it's important for all communities to be a part of it. The thing about Homer that really interests me was that their community has an action plan for climate change. And it's like, you know, they're looking back into their past. What were their past energy uses inside of government, and how can they cap their emissions? And I think Haines needs to do something like that. I think all of us need to do something like that.
In the group photo, Haines will be holding a part of a statewide message developed by the Alaska Marine Conservation Council.
And the unified message that he's written is Alaska coastal communities support renewable energy. Energy efficiency standards, a sustainable green economy, a cap on CO2 emissions, IPCC recommendations, climate change legislation, pass a climate bill, act now in 2009. And then different communities are going to hold up portions of the sign. The communities involved are Homer, Kodiak, Seward, Gustavus, Soldotna, Sitka, Anchorage, and Haines. And they're going to hold up a banner stating an element of the unified message and take a photograph. And then the photographs will be electronically stitched together, joining the communities and unified message into one larger photograph that then will be sent off to Alaska's congressional delegation. Haines's portion of this unified message is going to be a cap on CO2 emissions. So that'll be held in front of the group, and then we'll take this group photo at 350 on Saturday.
The communities of the Northern Lynn Canal don't get many opportunities to be a direct part of the larger outside world, but neither do some of the very remote locations that have pledged to hold festivals, flag raisings, picnics, and bike rides this Saturday.
Anything we do as a community, A, it brings us together stronger. I think the people that then come visit look at us as a role model, and I think, you know, a prime example is our public library. I think it's one of the coolest communities I've ever lived in. There's just a heck of a lot of very active, intelligent people that are involved in just so many different things and all working to bring about changes in different ways and to set examples for other communities.
Whitman believes a public event like this is important to compel people to look further into the research and act on it.
You know, we have so many issues concerning our planet, you know, whether they're water, air, people, whatever. And I believe that the biggest concern facing us that we're just not in action enough about is global warming.
Accelerating Arctic warming and other early climate impacts have led some scientists to say we're currently above what they call our atmosphere's parts per million. 350 parts per million is what many scientists, climate experts, and governments are now saying is the safe upper limit for CO2 in our atmosphere. We're now at 390 parts per million. The 350.org gathering and potluck starts at 2 p.m. on Saturday, October 24th, at John O'Green's house on Mud Bay Road in Haines.
The event's going to be taking place at John O'Green's, which is the second driveway on your left as you're past the Mount Riley Trail as you're heading out Litnikoff there. There will be a sign down the road that says 350.org.
But the most important part is the photo, says Whitman, and that is at 3:50 in the afternoon, followed by a potluck.
The group photo is going to be taken at 3:50, something kind of networking us together, so 3:50 in the afternoon on Saturday. The big part is for, you know, I'd love the whole darn town to be at this group photo, and if you want more information, please give me a call at 767-5646. There'll be flyers going up this afternoon.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell. It's your news. If you have an idea for a story, email us. We're at news@khns.org.